Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
The Mount is a National Historic Landmark located in Lenox, Massachusetts. It's a cultural center that celebrates the intellectual, artistic, and humanitarian legacy of Edith Wharton, author of The Age of Innocence, Ethan Frome, and The House of Mirth, among many other works.
Well, the Mount recently sustained substantial damage during the heavy rains, but they put it back together again with money that they... And their summer plans forge on. And now we're joined by Susan Whistler, Executive Director of the Mount, a woman who has done magnificent work in keeping this thing going.
Thank you very much for being here. So bring us back to, what was it, June 26th? You go into work and all hell breaks loose.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Alan. Yes, it was about 7 o'clock in the morning and I got the call from my Ross Jolly, my facilities director, saying, we have to close. We cannot open today. The roads are not passable. And essentially, the 5 inches of rain that we received in a very short period of time the night before turned our roadways into gullies. Culverts at the top of the property blocked because of debris and other matter that collected quickly. And basically, a wall of water descended on our French flower garden. And our crushed marble pathways became basically a channel for just a tremendous quantity of water and road gravel and crushed limestone that all ended up being deposited in the gardens.
So are you putting out an emergency call for those people who have a little extra change to sort of help you out in terms of the money you've had to spend to make it all right? Because, by the way, it's still a beautiful property. And anybody who thinks that if they went there, they would see the Sahara Desert would be wrong. You'll still see beautiful gardens and a wonderful landscape.
Well, this is true, Alan. And in fact, we had to act very, very quickly because the perennial beds were suffocating under the weight of all of this gravel. Yeah. And so Webster Ingersoll and Laura Walton came to the rescue right away. And within a matter of 48 hours, we, with on hands and knees and with shovels and trowels, we were able to scrape all the debris off of the gardens. And so we saved, I'd say, 95% of the plant material. They are looking wonderful. But that was a tremendous amount of work. Heavy equipment was involved, and there's still work to be done. But the formal areas themselves look spectacular. But it's a big price tag.
And Joe, just one more thing, and that is, Susan, you have a tremendous reputation in the Berkshires because you've done the undoable and saved the Mount, basically, you and your board and the good people who work with you. But yet, it's always going to be a struggle. Could you give us a little bit of a report on how it's coming at the Mount?
Sure, I'd be delighted to. Back in 2008, we had a debt load of over $9 million.
Yeah.
We've reduced that to about 3.9.
Wow. How'd you do it?
$1 at a time.
Really?
So, we've really grown our programming tremendously. We've got over 120 special events happening year-round now. We're becoming known not only as a historic house, but as a vibrant cultural center, which is terrific. But we have no endowment. And so...
Yeah, we understand that at WMC.
Yeah.
We don't have one either.
So, and we have no, unfortunately, no emergency reserve. There's no padding to sort of take
sure.
into account and provide for a natural disaster such as the one that we sustained. And so we're looking now to the community to raise between $60,000 and $80,000, which is what the cost of the repairs will be.
Wow.
And so far, the community's been great. Berkshire Bank Foundation stepped up right away with a $10,000 grant. As of this morning, we have $30,000 in hand.
Wow.
And that's within less than a week.
Well, that's really terrific and a great testimonial to the Mount and what you do. Just one last thing, Joe, but I wanted to mention. I have a very impressive consultant, my wife, who thinks that one thing that the Mount could be doing was serving lunches and dinners and people would come. Have you thought about that?
Well, we do serve lunches. Our jazz cafe has what I would call light fare Friday and Saturday nights. That kicks off this weekend with a Latin jazz trio. So, and we are starting to do private dinners, but that is something we're looking into.
Great. Joe?
We've been talking about stuff that has been going on outside, of course, with the gardens and the overall financial picture of the Mount. But obviously, you have the house, you have the tours, you have a lot of different things going on during the summer, different ways of bringing the people through the property.
That's right. We've got an incredible outdoor sculpture show, which we are doing in partnership with Sculpture Now. We're hosting two theater groups, Shakespeare and Company is performing Romeo and Juliet, and then the Ensemble for the Romantic Century is doing a musical theater piece about a young Beethoven in love.
Is this a reconnect between the Mount and Shakespeare and Company?
Oh, I think very definitely so.
Because there was some bad blood there for a little while.
There was a rough period, that's correct, but they've been wonderful to partner with, and we're just delighted that they're back and bringing magic to our outdoor theater.
Yeah.
What's a backstairs tour?
A backstairs tour is a sort of upstairs, downstairs. It focuses on the downstairs. There's such a fascination right now with sort of how a great estate or a Berkshire cottage really worked. And so we have guides who actually pose as the butler, the cook, and the Wharton's executive assistant, so to speak. And we sort of look at the house from the servant's perspective.
Have you ever met the ghost of Edith Wharton?
I can't say that I have, though a lot of people do have supernatural experiences on property.
Yeah.
And what do you make of that? Like, when they say that, you say,
Well, I...
We believe what we believe, or...
What do I make of that? Well, I'll tell you what the guide who leads the ghost tours makes of it. And she was pretty much a skeptic, but so many people on different tours at different times experience the same thing in the same places of the house and the grounds that she's actually sort of now on the fence.
So do you ever get jealous? You're like, oh, wow, they get to see all this cool stuff and hear it, you know. I just want to see the ghost.
Actually, no, I'm quite
I'm
fine.
I'm good with that. Yeah, yeah, so, I'm fine with that.
But I did want to tell you, Joe, about our new literary series that we are launching.
Got a lot of cool people coming.
We've got Kate Bullock, who's this rising star, who had a cover article in The Atlantic that went viral last year, is going to be curating a program. And we're going to be bringing Andre Dubuque, Joanna Rakoff, Scott Stossel, and Jennifer Boylan. I think all of whom you probably have interviewed.
I have, and they're all great. So what the tie to Edith Wharton being?
Just
meaning the literature aspect of it, I would assume.
Just young, up-and-coming writers who... it's just sort of inspiration, and Kate will be focusing on sort of the moments in these writers' lives that transform them.
And Joe, you've been out there to the Mount several times to help out,
yep,
and to lead discussions and things. What are your impressions of the place?
I'm not being interviewed. She is.
But I'm interviewing you now.
No. That's our time. My fascination is because you've always had this very cool connection with literature. You're having the people that were picked, as you say, curated by. So I assume there was some criteria that you used.
Actually, the criteria I use is I'm very careful about whom I choose to partner with, and then I let them basically call the shots and run the show. And
have you ever been disappointed? Has anybody ever done anything that you wouldn't have done, like say a dirty word on the radio or for us?
I would say in all the various partnerships, only once. And
what was that?
It was a, we called it the Creative Maverick Series, and it was a bunch of sort of very young, very talented...
Hippies?
Writers, up-and-coming writers. let's just say that I started with an audience of about 100, and by... within 25 minutes, I had maybe three or four people left.
Wow.
So, but anyway, it was a good experience.
Wait. Well, let's get a little further into this. What exactly did they do? They used bad language?
Did they damage the garden when they were leaving?
No, they didn't.
I meant the audience. So just like running out of there.
No, they were very good natured, and I was apologetic. But interestingly enough, all of the participants, and their names escape me now, are now writers for The New Yorker, and they were just young.
Yeah.
So.
We understand this issue. Don't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
So meanwhile,
back at the ranch,
you stay at your mission, which is honoring Edith Wharton.
Honoring Edith Wharton and honoring really creativity and the art of storytelling. I mean, our mission, we want to remain relevant by not only honoring the past, but by celebrating those who are creating, you know, actively creating today.
Well, Edith Wharton did such magnificent work. You know, the question that writers are always asked is, how'd you learn about that? I mean, did she have lovers? Did she do this or that? I mean, how do we know?
Well, she did have one love. It was, you know, a very important pivotal moment in her life. You know, she, I think, knew that she was a great writer and someone that wanted to leave a legacy. So she left a lot of material, and then other material that she probably hoped and thought was destroyed has actually been unearthed over recent
times. So she didn't have to experience in order to write.
I think some of her best works are based on her experiences, but she was also very curious about people and lifestyles that she would have had very little contact in, like the mills of North Adams, which she wrote about, or you know, poor seamstresses in New York City. And so she, the breadth of what she attempted was really amazingly broad.
There is so much going on at the Mount, including you're going to have a marathon reading, which is really cool.
We're going to have a marathon reading of Wharton's Summer, which is a novella that she called her Hot Ethan, but it's sort of the bookend to Ethan Frome.
So how does that work, a marathon reading?
We're going to start on page one, and we're going to read until we're done.
And how long? Has anybody timed that out yet?
Yeah, we did it last year. It's about 3 hours, four hours.
That's not bad.
Reasonable.
No. That's not bad. You pick in.
It's lots of fun.
Yeah, dip in, dip out. Sure, that's great.
And if people want to read, you know, it's sort of anyone who wants to can.
We thank you so much for sharing with us. You can find out more information by going to edithwharton.org, edithwharton.org. Susan.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You're listening to the Roundtables live broadcast from Tanglewood on WAMC.